This evening we are talking with Robin McCleavy. She is an actor. She has a long list of TV, film and stage accolades to her name, but we are talking theatre here, so we'll try and stick to that. She played Stella opposite Kate Blanchett's Blanche in A Streetcar Named Desire with Joel Edgerton. And it was directed by Liv Ullmann. It went on here as well as over in DC and New York. And she won the Helen Hayes Award for Best Supporting Actress for that role. She was in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, directed by Benedict Andrew, in the Innocently Naive Honey. Other noted productions include The Great by Tony McNamara and Holding the Man, directed by David Berthold. What an experience. Miss Juliet MTC by Kit Williams. She's an absolutely versatile performer, and I welcome Robin McCleavy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks for coming on. So I want to get a little idea of like where you're from and how you came to be an actor or to choose the life path, or has it chosen you?
Well, I was originally born in Melbourne, and my parents met working on a Rock Against Racism concert. It was Australia's first, I believe. And that concert had started in the UK. And my mum was in Aboriginal Affairs at the time and working as an Aboriginal activist. So she was organising the events and speaking with the musicians and organising the venues. And my dad is a graphic designer, so he was designing the logos for the concert. So that's kind of the background that I was born into. And then my parents split when I was about two, and that had a pretty profound impact on my mother and the kind of trajectory of her life. And we ended up moving to Tassie when I was seven. And when I remember back to how I started performing, it was really, I was doing a lot of like, you know, characters. And my mum was quite a satirist, you know, being very political creature that she was. She enjoyed it when I, you know, took the piss out of people and, you know, did funny voices and caricatured my principals and played the larrikin. So I did a lot of that when I was a kid. And then as I got older, I fell in love with horses and became horse obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
And then there came a point where I had to choose between what I thought could be a show jumping career, which was really not on the cards. And, yeah, going to Rosny College in Hobart, which is a performing arts specialty school, and that sounded great to me because I wouldn't have to do maths or science or any other subjects other than drama and English. And so that's how it all began, basically.
Wow. Can you tell me a little bit more about the Rock Against Racism?
Mum, she actually passed away this year in February. So
oh, I'm sorry. Thanks.
Yeah, that's why I'm back in Tassie, and we're now living in her house. So I've got access to all of her life's work, which is pretty incredible. And she was an historian and feminist. Yeah, one of the, you know, the OG feminists who were pretty intense. She was known to throw people out of her house if they disagreed with her. Intense and fabulous, flamboyant. Yeah, she was a character study, so I learned a lot from just listening to her stories, and she did love to monologue. So, so yeah, that was, and now I'm surrounded by all her files and her books, and I'm just, you know, in awe of the life that she led. Yeah, she was in South Africa during apartheid, and she was just a very passionate humanitarian at her heart, and she really valued artists, and she was always revering sensitive people. And my father's very sensitive as well, and that's the common thread, even though they really stopped speaking to one another when I was probably about seven. Mm. They're both Pisces, and they're both deeply sensitive, and they would read books and literature or plays and just be so deeply moved. And I think as a kid I didn't appreciate it, but as I got older and started studying plays and working in the theatre, I was like, oh, okay, this is what I've inherited, this kind of, this awe of, you know, the human condition and how fragile we all are, and how incredible life is and how there's so much to understand. So, yeah, there's a depth to my parents that they've really passed on to me.
She sounds inspirational. So from there, from Rosny College into NIDA, was that sort of the leap that happened, or did you have, you know, in between, or, and Was that the pivotal point going to the college?
It definitely equipped me for the future. I mean, we did, I think, about 5 plays a year and full productions. Mm. So we were performing, singing, dancing, designing sets. It was very immersive. And, yeah, they prepared us to audition for all the schools. And I really wanted to go to VCA. And I ended up moving to Melbourne, having not got in the first time, and studying at their open program and with Lindy Davies. And I just adored all that, you know, organic rolling around on the floor stuff. Is just, it's still my jam. I love it. the loopier, the better. I just, the more embodied work can be, is, I find that really, really satisfying. But I had 2 years of not getting into any of the schools and feeling pretty depressed, actually. But I was studying the whole time, and I was going to scene study groups. And then I finally got into all 3 of the schools. and I chose NIDA because my best friend, Thomas Campbell,
who we spoke to a few weeks ago, yes.
Yeah. So, and I went to Sydney and fell in love with Sydney immediately, and went to NIDA and met all of his classmates. And I thought, yeah, this is the place for me.
Mm. So how was it coming out of, I mean, you've done so many already, performances and productions, and then you're in, you know, Streetcar Named Desire, or maybe Holding the Man first. I'm not sure of the actually.
Yeah, well, I did, like, Holding the Man was one of the first plays that I did graduating, and that was incredible. Again, my mum was a 78er, so she was part of that movement as well. And one of the characters in the play that Tommy Murphy wrote was one of my mum's dear friends, Lee. Oh,
wow.
So that was a really special production that David Bertolt directed, and then, of course, it became a film later. But we really workshopped that first version that Tommy wrote, and that was profound. Like, just having all those audiences come in and be so moved by that story.
Absolutely. Yes, I saw that back then. So, but you played many roles in that. And did you tour with it? Because it had quite a life, that production.
Yeah, we started at Griffin, and then we did Mardi Gras Festival, and then we went to Belvoir, and then finally the Opera House. Mm. So it had a really long life in various venues, and I played, I think, 8 characters or something, lots of boys and lots of gay men, and it was a lot of sequins, and it was just a blast.
Any rolling on the floor?
lots of rolling on the floor. And masturbating in sleeping bags. That was
nice.
That's right. So was there a mentor? Have you had kind of like people that were instrumental in your development as a creative person and guided, or kind of took a, you know, saw something in you?
I think I can name a few. I wouldn't say I had specifically any mentors, but I can say that I worked with directors who really saw me. And I think there's something really special about being seen as a performer at your essence, and someone can recognize, yeah, what you're bringing, and that's really unique to you. And I think for me, one of those people was Anthony Skews, another beautiful director, and he's been around forever. And his teaching, the way he teaches, is just, I think, extraordinary. And then after that, I think Benedict Andrews had a really big influence on me. We worked on Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf together and Measure for Measure at Belvoir. And just the way that he worked and kind of intellectually navigated texts was extraordinary to me, and just so stimulating, and I could just listen to him talk all day. not so much anymore. I'm sick of him now. No. but it was eye-opening to me at that time to just know how abstract, I guess, you could, you know, the departure that you could take from a really traditional text like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and just kind of blow it up and still keep that, you know, nuance and humanity to it while bringing in all these other beautiful artistic heightened references. And that was extraordinary. But I think the ultimate mentor of my career has been Liv Ullmann, who directed us in Streetcar Named Desire with the Sydney Theatre Company with Kate Blanchett and Joel Edgerton. And again, Liv was just someone who saw my essence and Yeah, on the second day of rehearsal, she just kind of took me by the arm and said to me, I want you to show me everything. Don't hide anything from me. And it was so intimate and gentle and such a beautiful, like, precious invitation. And so unique for me because I hadn't worked with many women at this point. And here's this 70-year-old icon being so grandmotherly and gorgeous, and I just was a puddle on the floor. And that I really owe that moment of that, you know, intimacy to creating that role of Stella for that function.
You're listening to Stages. I'm Regina Botros, and we are talking with actor Robin McLeavy. How was that production playing with, yeah, like you say, Kate Blanchett and Joel Edgerton, but also taking it to the US? It's such a classic. There must be like this sort of almost ownership of the play as you take it back to its sort of homeland. How was the experience?
It's an Australian production directed by a Norwegian. yeah, a classic American play. Yeah, we were nervous as hell. But we had a good, you know, opening season in Sydney. But of course, when we first got to the US, we were pretty nervous. But we were received really well. And I don't know, I didn't read the reviews. I just tried to keep being playful and, you know, enjoying the potential within the piece, I guess. But yeah, we got great reviews. And I think, I mean, of course, Kate was in it, so everyone gets very boggle-eyed, you know, as soon as she comes on stage in the first scene, there's just like this rousing applause and she hasn't even opened her mouth yet. But yeah, she impressed across the board, and everyone in that production just had their whole heart in it because of Liv Ullmann and the way she brought us together. So we were kind of bound to get a good response because it was so heartfelt, and that's what Tennessee Williams was. He was a deeply heartfelt, beautiful, sensitive soul, and I feel like we all had the opportunity to bring that. So, but yeah, once we were in New York, we had, you know, Martin Scorsese and Meryl Streep and everyone in every night, and that felt like a pressure cooker.
Did you have to sort of like you pretend you would? You know, they're all naked or something. Well, what's your technique not to get nervous? I mean, it's nerve-wracking anyway.
Imagining people naked doesn't work for me because I then want to look. So I don't know how we got through it. I think we sometimes asked not to be told who was in, and then we'd find out afterwards. But again, Liv was there for the whole season, so she would come back and kind of backstage and keep us grounded, and the piece is so emotional that you can't really get that nervous. You have to concentrate on, you know, your journey within the play.
And you won Outstanding Supporting Actress for that, the Helen Hayes Washington DC Award. Do you never read reviews? Is it one thing that you do? Like, do you just
I don't really think about them too much. It's really nice if they're nice, but if they're not nice, I don't really I don't care to read them. I know when something stinks. Mm-hmm. Like, I know if I'm in a stinky production, but I'm in it for the experience of how it feels. And, you know, I wish that everything I did was a blazing success. Like, I did a TV show for 5 years in the US, and I thought, yeah, this is it. I'm going to be a huge star after this. I mean, I don't know if I did think that, but there was a potential for it to really put me on the map, and it really hasn't had that impact. It's kind of had an after effect. So where people are like, oh, that was a good show and you were great in that. But the experience for me on that show was incredible and life-changing. So I kind of have given up on wanting praise or external accolades to enjoy my career because it's not a prerequisite for me.
Yeah. You have to be so kind of versatile and vulnerable would you say? Like, what's your, you know, how, if you were going to describe, you know, acting as a career or as a thing, yeah, how would you describe what you need to be successful?
I think you have to want to share a message, and you have to know who you are and what you want to say in this life, and that is ever changing because we grow and evolve every, you know, every year, hopefully. But yeah, being in touch with how you feel about the world and what you want to say about it
is, yeah, yeah. So what would you be doing now if things hadn't cut down? I mean, you're now in Tasmania, you were meant to be in a production in for MTC, is it?
Yeah, we were going to do Girls and Boys by Dennis Kelly, who also wrote a brilliant play called Debris. And he's also, you know, written Matilda, the musical, which is one of my favourites. But, yeah, so Kate Champion was set to direct that. And it's a one-person show. It's a monologue. So I was getting ready to learn a lot of lines, more lines than I've ever learned in my life.
I was going to say, have you done any one-woman shows before?
I haven't. No, it was going to be my first. So I was pretty, I was getting pretty nervous about that experience and very excited. Kate and I had a few conversations about the piece, and it's very witty and very funny and moves really quickly and then has a really tragic, horrible end, which I wasn't looking forward to. But it's only one page, but she describes, yeah, a pretty tragic event that happens to her children. So, and I have a young son who's 3.5 now. So I was, yeah, I was like, wow, how do I tackle that? But you never know, we may get it up another time, maybe next year, we'll see.
Fingers crossed. There are a lot of, postponements going on. So it'll be interesting to see how things go. So what have you been doing during this time then?
Well,
apart from your mum's stuff, I mean, that must be huge too.
Yeah, it's taken 8 months to finalise the will. So death admin is a real thing that no one knows about. But, yeah, we've just been here in Tassie and enjoying nature, which is seemed like a privilege in 2020 to be able to enjoy the outdoors, and it feels quite normal here. But I've taken a bit of a career pivot, as you might call it, that I've been planning since my 20s, which is basically I've always wanted to be a healer, and I thought I'll be a massage therapist, and I always toyed with it between productions. You know, I'd finish a play and I'd be so exhausted and I'd like, okay, I'm going to become a healer and that's all I want to do. I'm a Gemini, so there's a lot of extremes with me. But yeah, so I am now working as a hypnobirthing educator. So I teach women and parents to enter self-hypnosis for childbirth. So basically since giving birth, I've become obsessed with, you know, the science and spirituality of being a birthing woman. And I was born at home. My mother had a home birth in Brunswick. And so I come from a lineage of home births because I birthed my son at home in Canada. And, you know, now I've moved into this area of women's rights during birth, which are violated constantly, surprisingly. But, yeah, it's really interesting going into the, you know, what is possible for women and the difference between what creates a traumatic birth and what creates an ecstatic birth. Mm. So, yeah, that's my current obsession. I've been teaching for the last 3 years on NOC. Yeah.
So this time has given you time to realize this latent part of you that's been waiting, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Will you return to theatre on the stage or
otherwise? Yeah, so the thing that I really miss, and I've used this word so many times, but it's intimacy, and I really just love being with actors. I realise the more I'm away from them, the more I appreciate them. But, you know, when you're in a room full of beautiful actors and creatives, there is that kind of openness and I don't know, it's just fun and unpredictable, and you're creating something together, and So, yeah, and I love theatre for that very reason.
So there's something like maybe some greater good that is more than just the one individual that takes over in the stage. I don't know. So if you were going to give advice, I mean, I know we've gone on to being working with hypnobirths, but what kind of advice would you give if someone wanted to take up a career as an actor?
Figure out who you are and what it is that brings you joy and what makes you curious, and then go and study those things and read plays, read all the plays, read history, read anything that blows your mind, and remember that those are the things that make up your magic, and then bring that to every piece of acting that you do. Don't outsource your power to someone else. Like, bring your jewels with you every time and share them.
Do you think there is a bit of magic in theatre?
Yeah. Like, one of the first performances I saw was Circus Oz, or Flying Fruit Fly Circus or something, in Melbourne. I must have been about 5 years old, and I just remember smelling their BO, and it was really stinky. But I was really aware of how warm the room was and how we were all breathing the same air and we were smelling each other. And it was such an animal, kind of primal experience. And, yeah, there's magic to bringing a bunch of people into the same space and sharing molecules together. That, and you come away changed. That's the magic of theatre to me.
Aww. Well, Robin McCleavy, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Regina. I've loved this interview. It's nice to remember all the, you know, the things that I love about acting, because
it's a hard road.
It's a complicated road. I think the industry, like any industry, it can kind of put emphasis on the things that aren't the riches, you know. And so talking about it from the point of view of, like, yeah, who's been your mentors, what have you learned, and, you know, these big turning points, it reminds you of all the special
reasons why.
And the reasons why, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, Robin, thank you again.
Thank you.
And that was Robin McCleavy, award-winning actor,